Our next guest joins us talking a little Week 11 in the NFL. He is Emory Hunt. You can see his work on CBS Sports HQ, and he is the czar at footballgameplan.com. He joins us now on the program, Waksat and Bick Nizar. Great to chat with you again, Emory. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, we love chatting football with you. Is everything fixed now with the Seattle Seahawks? Signs of life from Russ, signs of life from the defense. What did you think?
Yeah, I was impressed with the defense. I thought they really got after Kyler Murray all throughout the game. I even tweeted out last night, Carlos Dunlap played well all game long, and it was fitting that he ended the game with his sack. And so it looks like to be a very good pickup by Seattle. They're going to get healthier defensively, and if they can get that defense line squared away and do a lot of what we saw last night, then yes, defensively they're fixed. And as long as Russell Wilson doesn't turn the ball over, they're still one of the better teams in the NFL. And we saw that last night, him protect the football, and it was the end result was a victory.
As far as the split and what we saw from a running game standpoint, it was still pretty similar. They did kind of rely on the run a lot. I mean, run on the passing game a lot, which they have throughout a lot of the season. But you saw how much more effective they were with Carlos Hyde running the ball and being aggressive. This Seahawks team, when they can really incorporate the run game with a back that can't get it done with that offensive line in the way that they play, it does really change the outlook of the team offensively, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it helps when you have a quarterback that teams have to worry about in the run game. You know, if Russell Wilson was Matt Hasselbeck, you wouldn't have that much concern about, the quarterback run. Therefore, you can aggressively play, the front side run game, and Carlos Hyde wouldn't look as effective. So Russell Wilson being back there just changes the math for defense. And when you have a guy like Carlos Hyde or even – when they get a guy like Chris Carson back in the lineup, whenever that may be, or even when they had DJ Dallas, when you get guys playing essentially 11 on 10, it really helps them out because the offensive line gets to the second level a little bit easier, and any running back worth his salt will find that backside cut lane, which we saw Hyde do a lot last night, and he's going to have a lot of success as a result. So Russell Wilson's ability as a runner just helps out the run game, but you saw the defense have issues in deciding, okay, do we commit to the play action pass, do we commit to the bootleg, or do we crash down and close off that backside gap? And they had a hard time doing so. So you saw both the play action pass and also the cutback was there all night for Carlos Hyde.
Emory Hunt joins us on the show. The big news out of New Orleans was the flip-flop who was going to start in place of Drew Brees. At first, everyone thought it was Winston. Looks like they're committing to Taysom Hill. Do you still feel it's going to be a mix? And or if they really commit to Hill, how do you game plan for a guy like that?
I find that whole situation hilarious because it's interesting when folks that actually are in the building, as far as beat writers are concerned, can't see what's going on from a big picture standpoint. When Drew Brees got hurt last year, who stepped in? When you look at when they blew out the Bucks this season, who stepped in reserve in garbage time? When he got hurt last week, who stepped in place of him? It wasn't Taysom Hill in all three of those situations. So why do people feel as though Taysom Hill will get in there and start at quarterback in this season for the Saints? What Sean Payton is doing is what he's supposed to do. Give the Falcons, who is led by an interim coach, who is a defensive guy, who tends to want to be, he wants to put on a good showing for not only Arthur Blank, for other, owners and GMs around the league that, hey, we was able to slow down the Saints offense. Give them something more to prepare about, knowing how aggressive defensive coordinators get when you give them something else to look at. So have them prepare for Taysom Hill. And like I said online earlier, you're probably going to see Taysom Hill start the game and play the whole first series, and then you'll see Jameis Winston get back in there and it'll be the regular Saints offense, and he'll come back in probably inside the red zone or in some sort of package. But it'll be the Jameis Winston show. Although Hill will start the game, he is not the quarterback now or ever for the Saints. Otherwise, he would have been that guy the three times over when he had an opportunity to be that guy, and they bypassed him for the better backup option.
The only thing is that, and I tend to agree with you on that, Emery. I think it's definite gamesmanship. But Jameis Winston, I also don't think is Teddy Bridgewater. I think there is a bit of an element that could blow up.
People also thought Teddy Bridgewater wasn't Teddy Bridgewater, and he went out there and went 5-0. And all you heard from the folks down that way was that he's checked down Charlie, but he led the team to a 5-0 record. Plus, we hadn't seen, I think people don't give Jameis Winston enough credit. You know, the big thing about Winston this past offseason and what we found out is that, you know, he had eye issues and he had LASIK surgery. So we really haven't seen a Jameis Winston with correct eyesight. And maybe that dealt with a lot of the issues we saw him throw or out there at Tampa and also at Florida State. Because if you notice, a lot of his interceptions were the same type of interceptions, which means he had issues with depth perspective or perception, which is a sign of having that same that eye issue that he had, which now is corrected. So maybe we won't see those type of mistakes that we saw, because you always wonder, why is he making the same errors? All his interceptions kind of look the same. He was missing that linebacker buzzing by. And so now with the corrective eyesight and from everything that we were told and heard all throughout the Saints training camp is that's an issue that's no longer there. So now you add a guy that has correct eyesight, so we haven't seen this player before. But you also still have the good of Jameis Winston, which is the deep ball passing, the intermediate passing game, all of the things we hadn't seen at all this year with Drew Brees out there. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do. We know Jameis Winston was the number one overall pick, a Heisman Trophy winner, and 50 times better than Taysom Hill.
And this week, Emery, when you look at some of the teams, because we're into the final third of the season, and here is sometimes when we see teams really separate themselves from the rest to be real contenders. Which teams do you think they are this season?
The real contenders to me are it's funny because it seems like every year we're talking about the same cast of characters, and you're talking about Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Kansas City. In the NFC, you look at you look out west, Seattle would be one. The Rams, I think, are bubbling under the radar quietly. Cardinals can be a team that could be in the mix. And, you know, the Saints or Bucks, depending on who takes that division. But I think both teams are viable candidates. And there are a couple of wild cards in there, too. You think about how well the Raiders are playing. The Browns are playing with their run game and defensive approach. And if you think about the team out east in Buffalo, you know, that's a team that's playing really well, and maybe New England, that they're getting things together and trekking in the right direction, and maybe Green Bay out in the NFC North. But I think the serious contenders are Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and I would throw Seattle in that mix, more so than a team like Tampa and more so than a team like New Orleans. New Orleans has been a little bit helter-skelter, in my opinion. Although they're on this tremendous winning streak, we've seen this team before, and we've seen this team have mental lapses in the worst possible spots, which have happened in the playoffs.
So last night we saw a couple of 6-3 teams playoff, and Sunday we see another couple of 6-3 teams, and these two are the ones where you'll find a lot of people doubting either side. Tennessee, Baltimore. What do you see with, well, specifically the Ravens and Lamar Jackson? Are either of these teams a real true blue Super Bowl contender the way they're playing right now?
I would say Baltimore more than Tennessee, because Tennessee's defense is not the same it was last year, which is a big part of them going deep into the playoffs. They had the run game and they had the defense. You know, they had the ability to get pressure on the quarterback, and that's gone from their game now. You know, even with Clowney out there, they still can't get to the quarterback. So that's a hindrance for them, and their secondary has been susceptible to giving up a big play. For Baltimore, their defense is still really good. They still can run the football. They still have a tremendous talent at quarterback, and I think with the injury to Nick Boyle, it may be a blessing in disguise, because it's going to force him to put their rookie talent out there on the field. We're going to see more of Devin Duvernay. We're going to see more of James Prochet, and if you notice, when Boyle got hurt in that ball game last week against New England, first play after that injury, They went spread, they went up-tempo, and it was a 13-yard strike to Devin Duvernay. It was almost like, wow, this is a whole new offense. This is something they should have done, you know, since the beginning of the season. But when they had Boyle out there and they were relegated to that same, you know, double tight end offense and trying to, you know, live and die by the run game and play action passing, now you're going to force teams to really defend the entire field. Plus, people forget that this is the type of offense Lamar Jackson played in at Louisville. What the Ravens were asking him to do was something that was not necessarily, something that he wasn't used to. He was used to going out there with four wide receivers, sometimes five wide receivers, and really playing point guard football like we see Kyler Murray do out there in Arizona. So maybe this could be a little bit more familiar to him if they're able to get those young slot receivers, Duvernay and Proche, out there on the field and allow that passing game to open up the field so their run game can continue to be one of the dominant ones in the league.
See, I look at that Packers-Colts game, Emery, and I see the Colts being the team that might have the most to gain if they have an impressive win and that defense shows out again, and the Packers to be the team to have the most to lose as far as a public confidence standpoint. Because we do this whole thing week to week with, you know, how this team is a contender. The next week, you're like, oh, that's a bad loss. We're not sure if this team has the upside. And with Aaron Rodgers, it almost seems really fickle week to week with how it goes. Do you kind of see that being the case, or do you think the Packers are still strong enough, even if they lose in Indy, that we'll still view them as a contender?
You know, that's a good point, because I feel like every time we see Green Bay win, we say, oh, man, this is a dangerous team. They lose a big game, though. They lose a game to a team like Tampa, or they'll get blown out by, not really blown out, but they'll get beat soundly by Minnesota, and you're like, man, this team just doesn't have it. But Indianapolis is the same way. You look at their record, like, man, you know, this team won a lot of games, but they've beaten all bad teams. They lose all the games against the good teams. Then they go out and beat the brakes off Tennessee. So you're like, oh, wow, you know, this team, you know, maybe they do have what it takes. And I think you're right. We tend to view these teams on a week-to-week basis and sometimes get caught up in the moment. But I feel like these are two really good teams. This is a big game for both, more so for Indy because of how the whole AFC playoff race is shaking out, where a team – might have a 10-6 record by the end of the season and be left out of the playoffs because there are so many good teams right now in the AFC. And if you're Green Bay, you lose this game, you still have a little bit more leeway in the NFC North, but you still are keeping one eye on both the Vikings and Lions, because they are slowly putting together a nice little run. Lions have won 3 out of 4 games. And we know Minnesota's on a 3-game winning streak, and they have beaten the Packers. So, if you know, when they play again, they have all that confidence that they can beat Green Bay once again. And so when I look, obviously they played them twice already, but when you look at those two teams in the division, I think there's a little bit more room for error for Green Bay as opposed to Indy because of where they are in the AFC South and how competitive the rest of the AFC is.
Emery Hunt joins us, CBS Sports and FootballGamePlan.com. Before we let you go, you do a lot of college analysis as well, and I'm starting to watch more and more college with, you know, looking for stuff to do these days. But I'm not great, Emery, at kind of speculating which guys will translate really well to the NFL. Sometimes it's undeniable, right? We know that Trevor Lawrence is going number one and things like that. The guy I wanted to ask you about, and because I've watched him for a number of weeks now, what is Ian Book of Notre Dame at the next level?
that's a good player to pick, because, you know, I found myself a lot watching him and thinking, like, man, you know, what is it about Ian Book? And the good part is we've seen him for, it feels like, a decade at Notre Dame. But I think what we're seeing now, and this helps Notre Dame out this season, and it helps him out long term, is we're seeing him take the necessary steps forward in the passing game. Prior to this year, prior to the Clemson game, for me it was all about, you know, him as a runner and him making little safe passes in the flats or, you know, in an intermediate level. And when he got that playoff game against Clemson, they got blown out because they just didn't have the athletes. But when you saw him against Clemson this year and you saw him have to really drive down the field with his arm and make plays in the passing game consistently, he was like, man, this dude, he's doing it. And then he did it another week, the following week, they were able to go down there and beat Boston College with primarily him throwing the football. And it's like, okay, you look at his whole career. He has, you know, I think for him, he's probably more along the lines of an efficient passer, kind of like what you see from Case Keenum at his height, you know that type of player. And you see him doing a great job of you know, keeping the team in the fight and keeping the offense on pace. He's not going to hurt you. And now we're starting to see him, you know, instead of being, you know, the driver of the bus, you're seeing him actually be out in front leading the parade down the way because he's doing a great job throwing the football. So I do think there's a future for him at the NFL level, you know, whether or not he's a borderline fringe QB1 or a solid QB2. He's a guy that you can trust in certain situations to play and keep your offense on pace. So while he may not be a starter, a 10-year-plus starter, I think he's more of a spot starter, and that's solid for him because prior to this year, he probably would have been strictly a backup, in my opinion, or a guy that you just kind of have on your roster as a, you know, maybe QB2 or QB3. But I think he's turned himself into a guy that you can trust to start a game or two if need be. If anything, you think like Colt McCoy type or Case Keenum type at the next level. But I was very impressed with what he's done so far, and I'm excited to see what he can continue to do the back half of the season because he's definitely improved his game over last year.
Amory, always great chatting football with you. Enjoy your football weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.